we are looking at
a teaching for the past 5 weeks, I mean for the past 4 weeks.
Hallelujah. So this is the fifth section.
We're looking at the man, the message, and the mandate.
Hallelujah. The man, the message, and the mandate. Let's hold our hands and say this word. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, we receive revelation knowledge that is found in the written word. This afternoon, we behold Jesus, even as he sees us in himself. Even as we are taught the word, in its clarity and simplicity, he is glorified and we are edified alongside the body of Christ. Amen. Amen. So we are looking at the man message and the mandate. Okay. Matthew 28. I'm going to be a bit fast because we have to pick up from where we stopped last week. Hallelujah. So Matthew 28 from verses 18.
And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority, that's the word power, has been given to me in heaven and in the earth. Go therefore and teach all nations. That's the word material. To make disciples. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. Hallelujah. Amen. In Mark 16, there are 10 closing remarks of Jesus. Within the 40 days, Mark will put it this way. Mark will say to them, Jesus said to them, go therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. Say, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Say, he that believeth not shall be damned. And his sign shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. Say, they will take up serpents, and if they shall drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and the sick will recover. Hallelujah. Amen.
So, it says, so then after God had spoken to them, was received up into heaven, and had the right hand of God, and they went forth and preached everywhere, with the Lord walking with and confirming the words with signs following. Hallelujah. Mark 24, verses 44. Mark 24, verse 44.
And he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. And they opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Now he said, when he uses the word open their understanding, that's the word dialogue. That shows that at this point they got saved, right? So they got saved within the 40 days of Jesus teaching them. They couldn't have been saved, they couldn't have been born again before the resurrection. Amen. Amen. It was obvious because the resurrection was standard. Hallelujah. So they got saved within the 40 days while Jesus taught them. Hallelujah. Now look at verse 42. He says, and thousands is written, and thousands behold Christ who suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance reaches the remission of sins, and the remission of sins, the preaching is made among all nations beginning at Jerusalem.
Hallelujah. So we said something very vital. We said the gospel is the message of what? Remission of sins.
Now when a man believes in the gospel, he has received the remission of sins. Hallelujah. So what will receive when we got born again? The Spirit of God. So therefore, the indwelling of the Spirit is that remission of sins. Now take note of what he said. So some of us will see the time on us to progress. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of us will see the time. He gave an instruction for them to make disciples. Glory to God. And he now said to them, you know, I love the word Matthew will put it. He will say, teaching them. So he tells you how you will raise disciples. Hallelujah. Remember, the word make disciples, material, is a shorthand for what you have in Matthew, Luke, and John. Which is what? Preach the gospel. Which is what the gospel to be preached, men are saved, and when they are saved, you now have a responsibility to grow them. Hallelujah. Listen to that? Teaching them. So that means, when you use the word teaching them, it means the primary activity the primary activity in the local church is teaching. Teaching is not a part of, no, teaching is not by the side. No, teaching is not SMS. Let me give you the word for the week. No. Teaching is the primary activity when you come to church.
Don't say, I don't like going to that church because they will spend 2 hours to teach.
It's because you don't know what church is. You see, church is when you come and dance with the sport and dance with the bathroom. You pull your slipper, you say, where's your dancing shoe? No! That's not church! Hallelujah!
Church is where we come to be, when we are taught God's word primarily. Okay, you hear me? Primarily. The church is not when
you wait for, you know, the best part. Some people say the best part I like about church is Thanksgiving. Say your church, people do Thanksgiving. Say Thanksgiving or child dedication. Some people are looking out for child dedication. Who is doing child dedication in church? So that we'll dance. We'll dance around our son. Yeah? Some people have been doing shakiti for God for God. They are dancing. In church! You say, take it! Hey, he told God! Come on, stop it! Yeah? Yeah?
Some people are looking forward to dance back.
Do not come. Hold up. Stop it in church. Come, stop it. Yeah? I've seen one where, like, five people came to the altar. Permit me, came to the stage. And they put their heads down and they say that they're dancing. I'm like, come on. Don't do that in the nightclub, not in the church. Hear that? You think they're going to give you pencil for winning in dance? Some people will do it laba-laba in church. Hear that? Don't do that. Hallelujah. Do it not?
Then they are doing buga for God in church. Hey, when that buga song was raining, somebody went to sing another one, you buga for Jesus. What kind of nonsense is that? Are you playing?
Say, I'm doing buga for Jesus.
Stop being nonsense. Hallelujah. So what do you have primarily in the local church teaching? That means when I'm coming to church, I'm ready to be taught God's word. Did you see that?
Hallelujah. I'm ready to be taught God's word for my spiritual growth. Amen.
Amen. For my spiritual growth. So we said, for you to be a good teacher, you must also be a good student. Did we say that?
Right? A good teacher, you must also be a good student. Imagine somebody who wants to teach ignorance, and all through his life, or you want to teach economics and you had F in economics. You know you can't be a good teacher of economics. You just left school and you had F. You want to now be an economics teacher because there's no work. And so you want to go and teach economics. And what you use to teach economics is key point. You know you and your students are doomed for failure. Hope you know that.
So a good teacher is just a good student. And a good student is a good reader. Right? A good student is a good reader. I will find that in Jesus. Jesus being a good teacher was a good student. Right? Luke 2 was found among the doctors of the law and asked questions. He was with them for 5 days. Not just that alone. In Luke 4 verse 16, the Bible says that he had as a custom of going into the synagogue. Into the synagogue. Amen. Amen. Not synagogue, church of all nations in Kotum, was going into the synagogue. And then the synagogue is where you go to be taught the gospel. Where you are taught the scripture, sorry. That's where you are taught the scripture. So Jesus had a custom. This, that, a custom means this is what he does always. Custom is something that I've taken as part and parcel of me. So Jesus had that as a tradition of going into the synagogue where the scriptures are taught. Did this? I hope you are following me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Very important. So that means a serious believer who is serious about his spiritual life must always be found in church. Always. Amen. In church. Let me tell you something.
I know that there are people who bastardize the name church out there. But for there to be, okay, when I mean out there, that I know, I've heard people say, nobody of those church people, they are doing holy, 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 holy. Don't listen to such nonsense. Amen. God has set a standard. Amen. Okay, follow you. That you must not despise. Look at Hebrews. He said, do not despise the assembling of ourselves. Do not forsake it. Amen. Do not forsake it. Look,
I mean, Hebrews 10. Let me show you that. Quickly. Hebrews. Verse 25. Hebrews 25. He said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Do not forsake it. Amen.
Don't forsake it. Don't leave it aside. You must always take the get going to church as a priority. Hallelujah. Jesus did.
Jesus is God and he did. Hallelujah. So we began to look at that word teaching, right? And we are investigating Jesus' mode of teaching, right? Hallelujah. And we said Jesus' mode of teaching is that he will start from the Genesis, right?
Was that what we said? Just to read from Genesis, Luke 24, 25. I mean, Luke 24, 44. He will read from the Genesis.
He will start reading from Genesis, from the law of Moses, Genesis. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. He will read from Genesis and he will read everything. Everything. You don't skip details. Hallelujah. He will use the word in Matthew 19, verse 3, have you not read? So that means, Anagino school, or Jesus' dinner, Dami Didache will include Anagino school to read everything together. Amen.
Amen. I've also looked at parables, right? And figurative expressions. Now you don't read them literally, right? Don't read them literally. You must look at what it points to. When you hear the word parables, parables are, there's a way I used to define parables. Those days, and it's just funny. That was in
Jesus
Secondary School.
Yeah, that was in JS2. Parables are earthly words that have heavenly meaning. But parables are actually, is the word parabole, what is cast alongside.
Amen. What is cast alongside. So that means parables are not the main thing, they point to something. So I must always look at what does the parable point to. Okay, follow me. Parabole.
Also,
we also looked at the word miracles and signs. Right? Miracles and signs are actually wonders in the earth. Who said that? They are wonders in the earth.
But in as much as the person that received the miracle received that wonder of God, right? But yet, there is a way miracles, signs should be explained. Right? They point to a fact of the gospel. Did we see that? Now we saw the miracle of water coming from the rock. Right? It was a miracle. It was a miracle in the earth. Did they drink? They drank. They saw water. So it was tangible, right? But it pointed to something.
Hallelujah.
It pointed to something. So Moses will now say, God is the rock.
He's not saying God is that stone. Okay, no, he's just saying God is the rock. To make you know that your dependence is not on the rock that gives you water, but on God. Did you see that? So every miracle will point to the miracle.
Hallelujah.
In the gospel. Now, in John 9, Jesus met a guy that is born from the bed, from bed blind. And he healed the guy. And they asked him. You know, that's the process. You read down, when Jesus was to speak concerning that event, John 9, was to speak concerning that event, look at what he pointed to.
John 9. Look at verse 39. Say, and Jesus said, for judgment I am coming to this world. Did you see that? That they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. So we're not talking about physical seeing here or blind here.
He's saying that physical sight being restored to that guy is a pointer to what will happen to us in salvation. Hallelujah. That the blind eyes will be opened. And did that happen in Luke? Yeah. Hallelujah. He opened the ear of understanding. Did you see that? Hallelujah, that they can comprehend scripture. Go for me.
And that is what is happening. When a man is saved, we're going to see that shortly as we progress. When a man is saved, his eyes are open.
Hallelujah.
His eyes are open.
Open to the reality. of God and man in union.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hope you're following. So when a man is not born again, he's blind. He's in darkness. Hallelujah. He's in darkness. He's blind. So the light that shines is salvation.
Hallelujah. Hope you're following.
So the miracles will point to the message. Hallelujah. Now remember, we said people had Jesus' gist in town, right? People knew about Jesus' story. But yet, there is a way Jesus wants his story to be told. Would you say that? Hallelujah. And in the resurrection, when he found them, they now saw how to tell his stories,
which is in the preaching of the gospel. Take note. At the resurrection, we pointed out something last week. We said that instruction was given to the disciples who were now born again. Right? They were now born again. So if I ask you, when did the disciples get born again? You should know how to tell the rest of them. Right? When did they get born again? Acts 1? Is it Acts 2? Or Luke 24? Acts 2 or Luke 24? Okay. No, Acts 2 is the Holy Ghost says. That is it. Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen. So,
okay, now that means if that instruction was given to his disciples who were now born again, right, who were now saved, we said that would be a Genesis pattern. Did we say that? It would be a Genesis pattern. And in Genesis chapter 1, that is similar instruction in Genesis 1, 26 into 28, will be given to God's man. Look at it. The man in the image of God. Look at Genesis 1:26. And God said, let's make man in our image, after our likeness. Let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the surface of the earth. And God created man in his image. In the image of God created he male and female, created he them. Did you see that? Hallelujah. So that is it. First of all, I need you to see something here. That this will be God's plan. God's plan. God's plan. Hallelujah. Amen. We'll get to that very soon. So God gives this man in verse 28. Look at verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it. We're going to get to something shortly. Hallelujah. So that instruction will be given to the man in his image. Did you see that? Hallelujah. And we said that man in God's image is called Son. Right? It's called Son. Genesis chapter 5. Genesis 5. Let's see something here. Let's actually deal with that word Son again. Amen. Genesis 5. It says in the book of the generation of Adam. Adam. Now, it's referring to Genesis 1. It says the book of generation of Adam. And when you use the word Adam there, it's referring to humans. Hallelujah, humans. So I said when you get to Genesis, you must allow context to reveal to you who Adam really is. Because the word Adam is both used for a man and also used for what? Universal name. Hallelujah. Used for humans. Okay. Let's see something now. It says, in the day that God created man, now the word man now is used for man. In the likeness of God made he him. Look at, male and female created them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his image in his own likeness after his image. So therefore we said to be a son is to be in likeness, in another's likeness. So Adam bore a son in his likeness. So when you use the word likeness, is the word you use for son.
What are you doing?
Is the word you use for son. Glory to God. Is the word used for son. So, something we're going to see shortly, that is the word used for son. You don't get to, and Adam was created in the likeness of God. Did you see that? So when you get to Luke chapter 3 verse 38, you see something very significant there. You will see that Adam is the son of God. Adam is the son of God. So what son will not access it is,
I have a defense for Adam. I was studying this morning, getting prepared for church, and I remember the story me and my friend did years back. And we have to accept that Adam was in Adam in heaven or in hell. Don't get to that point. So while I was doing that study, I was not smiling that I have a defense for Adam. And the defense is within Genesis 3.
But that we're not looking at that today. Amen. Amen. But Adam is called the son of God. And do not answer, you know, today when you say son of God or son, you need a man and a woman to give you a son, right? But that is not how it is. Because I told you last week that son, when the word son is used in scriptures, most times is not used for a biological birth. In terms of, it does not refer to biology, where there must be a woman. Did you see that? Like some people ask, Jesus is the son of God. Who is God's wife? No, that is a stupid, dumb question to ask. Anybody that says that is dumb. Amen? That's a dumb question you ask. It shows you are not intelligent. Amen? Because if you are intelligent enough, you will see that Adam is also called the son of God. Who is Adam's mother? Did you see that? So that means I have to go back again and ask myself, how is the word son used? Son is used for one who is in another one's likeness, right? And we begin to investigate how the word son is used. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we say Jesus called the son of God doesn't necessarily mean God had a wife. No. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So last week, and also for us too, in the resurrection we are called sons. Do you see that too? Galatians chapter 4 verse 6. Galatians 4 verse 6. Take note of what he said. Galatians 4 6 quickly. Look at what he says there. He says, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son to your heart, crying out, Abba Father. I said that is actually a mix up. It's not because ye are sons, God has not sent you. Hallelujah. Amen. It says rather, it's actually supposed to be rearranged that, and ye are sons because God has sent forth his spirit, the spirit of his son into your heart. So the indwelling of the spirit is what makes us sons. Did you see that? Amen. So he calls it the spirit of his son. Did you see that? Referring to the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we began looking at the word son last week. Son. So when we hear Jesus is the son of God, don't think about the word. Think about it in the sense of the fact that the word son is used for what? Let me know who remembers that. Used for what? Okay, I said that earlier. The one I said last week. Functionality. Thank you, sir. Word son is for functionality. This is for, I hope you're following me. It's more of a function rather than biology. Did you see that? Don't think of man and woman. No. That is dumb. Amen. It's actually functionality. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Jesus is called Son of God because of the incarnation. I will ask ourselves the question, who then was Jesus before the incarnation? He's God. Did you see that? He's God. He's God. Jesus is God. So why is he called Son of God? Because he became a man. Hallelujah. That's why he's called the Son of God. Because in becoming a man, he then carried out that functionality of what? Service. Did you see that? So because he is now fulfilling a function, which we are going to see in detail as we progress. Amen. Because of that function, right, of dying and resurrecting and drawing, and I mean, sorry, yeah,
because that's function of the resurrection, where he will now draw sons, right, to himself. That is a function. Amen. We're going to see all that shortly. It's a function. Now that functionality is the reason why he's called son. Look at what we do. Yeah? Not because there was a woman that gave birth. Jesus always the mother of Mary, so Mary must come married to God. Come on now. Give yourself a small brain antidote. Amen.
Amen? Remember what we do. Amen. So anybody that brings that as a question, I just look at the person as very unintelligent. Very unintelligent person. Okay, what do you mean? Very, very unintelligent. Even someone that came out with third class is better than you. It was better, it's better that you just go to school and say, please refund me back all my school fees. I'm not worthy to know book.
Amen.
Okay, what do you mean? And then you begin to think, so Israel was called the Son of God. Exodus, quickly. Exodus chapter number 4. Okay. Exodus 4:22. Let's see the concept of sonship. Exodus 4:22, quickly. Okay, he says, for I want to bring up something here quickly. Okay, quickly, are you there, 22? He said, for thou, and thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son. He's talking about the whole nation. He said, Israel as a nation of men and women. He called them son. So before you think son is only man, because of that you now have daughters and mothers, you know. Son is both male and female. Did you see that? Yeah. So he said, Israel as a nation is my son, even my firstborn. Take note of that. He said, and I say unto thee, let my son go, that they may serve me. So that means the function of a son is service. You see that? Service. Put that side by side with Matthew chapter 20. Matthew 20, verses 25 to 26. Okay, no, verses 26. It says, but it shall not be amongst you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. That is, let him be your servant. And whosoever must be chief amongst, let him be your minister, like the word serve. Let him be your servant, to serve you. So that will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. Did you see that? And to give his life a ransom for many. Did you see that? Function. So he says, he as God became a man, right? He's called Son of God because of his service. Okay, following me. So the functionality of son is what? Service. Service. So the reason why Israel is called son is because of what? Service. Okay, following me. That they might serve me. And the background to that will be Genesis 15. So the role of Israel in the nations of the world is the reason why they are called son. Okay, following. This is why they are called what? Son. Now take note of another thing you find in sonship in that Exodus 4. It says, let my son go and then my son. Okay, no, look at verse 22. He called them, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. Now that word firstborn there is the word Bekorah. Bekorah. So that means son refers to Bekorah.
So the functionality of sonship there refers to Bekorah, which is firstborn. We're going to look at firstborn. Now, firstborn, now, imagine not a firstborn.
Not a first child. No.
Firstborn also is a functionality.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bekorah. So that means, listen, Adam, that is called the son, is he going to be firstborn?
Is he firstborn? He's firstborn. Is he not firstborn? Bekorah.
Come on now.
Because you said the son is related to Bekorah, right? Right? So Adam is also the son, the firstborn.
We're going to see that. Hallelujah. Now why is he called son? Why is Adam called son? Genesis 1:28. Let's see that. Genesis 1:28. Are you there? Now he said, and God blessed them, and God said, God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea. Now look at what he said. Over the cattle, over the fowls there, and over every creeping thing that moveth upon the earth. Now look at what he said. God blessed them and God said, be fruitful and multiply. That means there is a task.
You know, sonship is a what? Function. Right? Service. So God now gave Adam a task. So Adam is called son, firstborn, because of that task.
Hope you're following me. Amen? Pause. Why are we called sons?
I need to retreat. Why are we called sons?
I noticed that. Why are we called sons?
Because the Spirit of Christ. Right? So Christ, I'm going to explain that to us further. Now we're called sons because of Christ. Christ is the Son of God. Hallelujah. Yeah. He's called the firstborn from the dead. And we will be found in him. Therefore, we've been called sons. We are standing in that office of Christ. We're going to see all that as we go ahead.
Hallelujah. Something you must not miss. Hallelujah. Amen. So let's do something. So Adam is called son because of what? That assignment, that task, right? Right? Let's see something again. We're coming back to Adam shortly. We're coming back to Genesis 1:28 shortly. But let's see something in Genesis 22. Before you think son or firstborn refers to the first child, Genesis 22, and it came to pass after this thing that God did tempt Abraham. I am weary of saying God did tempt Abraham, because if you look at the word tempt in our world today, look at if God actually threw him test. No. No. The word tempt, because if you leave it to Nigerian grammar, if God is a tempter, no. You know, we have a disclaimer in this, right? Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot tempt any man. But yeah, but still it's the same God. No, you have to go back to their word. Right? That was the tempt there means to prove. Right? Amen? To prove. Hallelujah. Amen. So, we have that teaching now. ABC of temptation. So listen to it. I actually explained that there. ABC of temptation. Is that the title? No. ABC of temptation is Saints Community.
Trials, temptations, and temptations, trials, and persecution. Yes,
yeah,
explain
here. That's ABC. That is my pastor's message. Amen. Amen. So let's look at this. Where are we? So he came about our home, and Abraham. And he said unto Abraham, and he said, behold, I am here. And verse 2, and he said, take now thy son, thy only son Isaac. Did you see that? only son Isaac. Take now, is Isaac, was Isaac his only son? No. Is Isaac his only child? No. He had Ishmael. But Isaac is God's son.
Okay, but
there was Ishmael.
Oh, no. God, you are making a mistake. Is this the first or second?
No.
God, Abraham understood what God is saying.
Amen. No, Ishmael is his son, but Ishmael is not the son. What does that mean? Ishmael is his son biologically, but Ishmael is not the son by functionality.
Hallelujah. Okay, following me.
Now track back to why Ishmael wasn't called the son of Abraham. Remember, it's not biology we're talking about now, but what? Functionality. Chapter 21, verse 9. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, who is Ishmael, the Egyptian, which had been born unto Abraham, mocking. So Ishmael was seen mocking in reply to speak ill of Isaac.
And something else we're going to see, and of the Bekorah. So that means you spoke wrong, ill. That is, that was to speak ill to persecute. So, this is Ishmael was seen persecuting Isaac. To speak ill of the Bekorah. Put the Bekorah in brackets,
because we're going to see why the Bekorah afterwards. Now let's even talk about Bekorah. Bekorah. Hope you're understanding me. Bekorah.
Bekorah is the word for firstborn, right?
Firstborn. Let's talk about the Bekorah. The right of the firstborn today. You know, today they say, I'm the firstborn. My father's blood is born.
Yes. See, before Moses man gave, look up, what Moses did was, when Moses was
giving them the law, he now gave a right of the firstborn, that if a man has 10 child, was trying to explain double honor that should be given to the man in ministry, which is the pastor.
Listen, to, and that is where you all learn to read that.
When Paul was writing to Timothy, he said, let double honor to give it to them who labor in modern doctrine. He was writing on the Bekorah. Now, Moses will now say, if a man has 10 child,
listen, 10 children, 10
children. If I have 10 children, and he wants to, and he dies, I now want to share his property. He said, you will not divide the property into 10. You will divide the property into 11. You see that? Everybody takes one, but the fourth child will take 2. Did you see that? Will take 2. Everybody will take one. Okay, so now that is the right of the firstborn. Now, listen, they now have that as a practice. But take note, Moses wrote out to them that they would give double honor to the one who is the Bekorah. Amen. Now come back to what is the Bekorah. Bekorah now, firstborn, usually in their world, the firstborn child is supposed to take the position of the father. Okay, follow me. Amen. Amen. He is to stand in the office of their father or of the father to carry out the father's task. So the father is not there at the moment. The firstborn is to stay in the father's task to fulfill his father's task. Okay, follow me. He is to stand in the father's stead rather to fulfill the father's task. That is the firstborn. So the firstborn is not a position, it is an office. Okay, following me. Amen? So how would Moses start explaining a man has 5 children? In hand that you share the property into 6, give the firstborn 2, so that you would respect that office. It's not saying the firstborn is the first half. Okay, following me. Is today that you say, my firstborn is my first child. No. Firstborn is actually the man that stands in your tent. Amen. What is all of us standing in your tent? All of you are firstborn. Don't you know? Can you do this? Amen. It's not a position, it's an office. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So don't just dwell on Genesis so that we understand what the Bekorah really means. So the question is, therefore, if the Bekorah, which is the first, the right of the firstborn, right? Right? Or the son is to stand in the stead of the father. And listen, Adam is God's son. Therefore, the question is, what is God's task that Adam is going to walk on or walk in? Did you see that? What is God's task that Adam is going to walk in? Hope you're following me. So what is God's task? Genesis 1:1.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You know, we're looking at the man, the message, and the mandate.
Okay, wait.
So, we are still discussing around the man.
Hallelujah.
We need to write in the beginning, we get into the mandate before we get to the message.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Glory to God. So, what is God's task? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And look, and now, that will be a plan. Heaven and earth.
Heaven and earth then is not, we're not talking about science.
No.
Genesis is not a book for science. I know some people are willing to do science and use Revelation for Second World War, Third World War, and Fourth World War.
No.
Amen. We're using for science to see helicopter in Revelation. It's not for science. Who are you? Moses wasn't writing science fiction. Heaven and earth. God has said, let's start!
Heaven!
So heaven is not a planet, no. Those of you who are around for pneumaticals class, you'll see how we describe heaven, right? Right?
Yeah, when that season is out, make sure you pick it up.
Listen to it again and again.
Hallelujah.
So when you use the word heaven and earth there, it's not referring to science. It's actually talking about God's plan. Heaven is used for supernatural location or supernatural world.
Heaven is a supernatural world.
So the earth then, and I said the heaven,
yeah, is referring to, let me use it this way, for the sake of this class.
Now, so we don't get into pneumaticals teaching. Amen. For example of this class, we say heaven will be used for the supernatural world, God's dwelling place. Hallelujah. God's dwelling place. Jesus will say, our Father who is in heaven.
Did you see that? Heaven.
So when Moses is writing, he's not writing creation, he's writing God's story. And he said, heaven and earth. Now the earth will be used for man. So God's plan is to be in all the earth. Hallelujah. God's plan is to have the heaven and earth in the same place. So how will Moses now explain it?
Moses will not call heaven another planet. No. Moses will not call heaven the Shamayim. He will not call it as the sky. He will not use sky to represent heaven. And not use earth, no. In fact, Moses will also call mountaintop heaven, where the natural man cannot go. The whole Apollo is. Amen? Amen? They are not looking for heaven. But at the same time too, he will make you see that heaven is in the earth. Amen?
And he will not tell you, that will be God's plan. God's plan is for him to be in all the earth. All the earth will be in all men. You see that? So God's plan is to fill the whole earth with his heaven.
So heaven is not a planet. No, heaven is not. Heaven is just the unseen world.
Hallelujah.
God's dwelling place. And Moses didn't write that outside the earth. You don't have to travel with space what? Spaceship. Where are you going to? I'm going to the moon. It's not the moon you're going to before. I'm going to the moon. I'm going to see the moon. I'm going to go to Jupiter. No, not Jupiter. Go to Mars. Go to
Mercury. See Mercury. Hallelujah. Say, I'm looking for heaven.
No, you're not going to find it there.
Hallelujah.
Heaven will be within the earth.
Hallelujah.
Come on, brother.
Amen. It will be on earth, within the earth. And that's how Moses writes. Moses writes it for you to see. We don't call the bed of the earth. Now, when you use the word air, there is the same word Shamayim. For heaven. The best of the heaven. Where do you have them within the earth? Hallelujah. And he said, that will be God's plan. Hallelujah. As the sky is within the earth, God wants to dwell within the earth. Hope you're following me. And he wants to dwell amongst men. Hallelujah. That was God's plan. Take note. Genesis 1:1 is God's plan. I love what my friend said. Pastor Abraham Borg. He will call it, that will be God's dream land or God's dream world.
Genesis 1:1 is God's dream world. Hallelujah. God's dream world. I love that. Yeah. Sounds like dream world like, you know.
Yeah. Somebody say cartoon. God's dream world. Lovely. Very correct, because it's God's plan. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what is God's plan? Heaven and earth in the same place, right? Would that be God and man? That would be God and man. Do you see that? Amen. God and man. Heaven and earth. Everything is for man. I told us that. Right? Everything is for man. Heaven and earth in the same place. Hallelujah. But Genesis 1:2 now opens up. Genesis 1:2 now says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the surface of the waters. Amen. Some people try to have such theology. After God is done creating the heaven and the earth, then you think it's time. The Satan and kids. Now did Kung Fu. The earth. Ka 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 ka. Po. Boosh. Came to the bridge. Bam. Bam. Everybody else scattered.
God now said, the earth is the cast form and the earth. No.
You remember, Genesis 1:1, Genesis 1:2 is always God's plan, and we're dealing with the heart of man. You know, hope you're following me. Amen. So Genesis 1:2 now says, and the earth was without form and void. The earth there will be man's heart. And he's showing you the state of man without the Spirit. So the earth, remember Genesis 1:1, God's dream world is what? Heaven and earth. So Genesis 1:2, you now have the earth without the heaven. This is that there's no heaven. So it's showing you man without God is empty and void. The Greek the Hebrew have it as tohu wabohu. Tohu bohu. Amen. Amen. Let's run through this. Tohu bohu. The word tohu. T-O-H-U. Tohu. The word you find in Deuteronomy 32:10. Deuteronomy 32:10. And he found him in a desert land, in a waste, howling wilderness. That is the word waste. In 1 Samuel 12:21, is the word you find for vain. Vain. Job 6:18, the word tohu is used for nothing. Nothing. Job 12:24. Let's look at Job 12:24. Something you need to see. Job 12:24. Hallelujah. 24. It says, he taketh away the heart of the chief of the people of the earth, and caused them to wander in the wilderness, where there is no way. That's the word to wander in the wilderness. That is to say, chaos. You see that? You take away the chief, there is chaos. Chaos. So tohu means chaos. The word bohu is the word you find as emptiness. To be in a state of ruin. Of ruins. Hallelujah. Amen. Emptiness. You find it in Isaiah 34:11, Jeremiah 4:23. Nothing. Waste. So tohu bohu When you use the word empty and void, it means to be in a state of chaos. To be in a state of chaos, not proper. Chaos!
If this is chaos, what would be the opposite of chaos? The opposite of chaos would be what you find in Christ, rest.
Okay, Pauline. What do you find in Christ? Rest. The rest, opposite of chaos, the opposite of rest is not work, no. The opposite of rest is chaos. Okay, following me. Amen. Okay, following me.
It's chaos.
Wait. Hallelujah. So that means a man not to have God. Man without Christ is waste. Man without Christ is chaos. Hallelujah. Amen. The man without Christ is in chaos. Is in waste. He now causes darkness. Darkness there is supernatural. Darkness. So the body of the deep. Darkness. So the man without Christ is in darkness.
Hallelujah. Sorry to say. No matter how brilliant a man is, the kind of flashy car they have, once he's not born again, sorry sir, you are in darkness. That is the sweet truth. You are in darkness. You are in chaos. But I have everything working for me. No! You are in darkness. That is how God sees the man that is not born again. Darkness, chaos.
We're going to see something in King. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Chaos!
So man's problem is not money. Man's problem is not political. Man's problem is not natural. Man's problem is supernatural. Man's problem is for supernatural. Especially the man not born again, his problem is for supernatural. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Get back to Genesis 1, verses 3. And God said, let there be light. Do you see that? So, that is,
this is Genesis 1. Look at how Moses is writing. You write Genesis 1.
And he writes 2 for you to see that the end is not from the Lord.
Genesis 1 is the beginning of that paragraph.
Now, he now comes to Genesis 1, 2.
He now says, the end is not from the Lord, that is the first coming of the sea, of the deep. And the Spirit of God is now extending Genesis 1:1. And the Spirit of God moved on the surface of the water, and God said, let there be light.
Isn't that? So when he said God said, let there be light, that would be the heaven. Isn't that? Let there be light. He uses the word higher all. That is the word I am light. Isn't that? So God calls himself I am light. I am there is the word used for God. So God says he is the solution to man's darkness.
Amen. So the same word I am light is what you find in Jesus. John chapter number 8 verse 12. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. That is Genesis 1:2. I am the light of the world. So Jesus is saying he is the God in Genesis chapter 1. Hallelujah.
Are you following me? Glory to God. Glory to God. That wasn't be lost on you that Jesus is God.
Jesus said that was more than enough for you to know his God.
More than enough.
Hallelujah. More than enough. He will not lose, he will not get lost on you.
Said it over and over again. I am God. Hallelujah. I am the light of the world. I am light. Let there be light. It's the same thing. Hallelujah. Jesus is God. Hallelujah. Let's see something. So I am light. So Jesus calls himself as the solution to man's problem. Or put it, God calls himself as the solution to man's problem. So the solution is not a new governor, is not a new political leader, is not a new house, the problem. No! God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember the tax in Genesis 1:1. Stop.
The tax in Genesis 1:1 is in all the earth. Right? Is it where?
We're going to see that. That becomes the mandate. The mandate of God is in all the earth. The mandate of God is in all the earth.
Every man included. Every man. Hallelujah. Every man included. In all the earth. And how would that happen? His light in all the earth. You see that? His light in all the earth. Which will be salvation? Which will be salvation? Next week I'll show you how Paul put it to be salvation. Hallelujah.
In Genesis 1:26,
God now says, we read it earlier, let's make man in our image after our likeness, let him have dominion over the fish of the sea. He brings in that same Genesis 1:1-3, let's make man in our image. You see that? Our image. After our likeness. Yet he had dominion over the fish of the sea, over the cattle, and over the creeping that creepeth upon the surface of the earth. And God called them man in the image, created him male and female, created he them. And God blessed them. Watch this. So he made man in his image. Is that the Genesis 1:3, man? Is that the Genesis 1:3? Let there be light. That is Genesis 1:1. Heaven and earth. God's dream world. God's dream man. So heaven and earth will be without a man in God's image. And hope you're following me. God's dream world, God's dream man. So God's dream man will now be given a responsibility. Now remember, this God's dream man will be his son. Right? His son. Right? And what will be the task of that son? The task of the father in all the earth. So God now gives this man the same responsibility. In verse 1 says, let him have dominion over our own. First of all, he said, let them be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Watch that word. Fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. Now when you use the word, okay. Now, he also mentions animal. Before we get to the replenishing part, he also mentions animals that have dominion. And then they have dominion over the fish of the sea. That is the replenishing. Now when they use the word animals there, he's not saying have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds, and over other people. No. He's not saying you should go and be killing birds. When I'm going, I'm be targeting Asha. Be targeting, you know what is Asha? See, that's looking for the English meaning of the word Asha. Some people are saying it's hawk, some people are saying it's eagle. Some people are saying it's... You don't know what is Asha? What about Leke Leke?
Yeah,
it's Leke Leke. When I'm done, it's okay. Amen. So let's continue. Amen.
So Leke Leke, give me one.
Nonsense. Amen. So I said, okay, that is for catch goats and kill goats. God says you have dominion. So you have catch goats. Say, yes, God, I will have dominion over you, catch goats. No! God can't be giving you tax to go and be killing goats.
No.
Rather, when you use the word animals there, animals are used to describe men. They say, have dominion over a fish of the sea. So all your dominion should be catching catfish. No. So why are you doing? And Rabbi said, I'm trying to catch fish. Why? Rabbi said, you have to know why the fish of the sea. Come on, give yourself grace. Even the people there, when they told them, all of them would have just started catching fish. You know, most of the children of Israel, all of them said, okay, let's go fishing, let's bring more fish and goats, let's be killing them, we're having dominion. No! They knew what he was talking about.
Animals were used to describe men. Genesis chapter 49, quickly, everybody, let's go there. Genesis 49. Hallelujah. And Jacob called his sons, verse 1, and said, gather yourselves, and the tear you worship before you in the last day. Are you there? Okay, look at what he called his son. This is Jacob, verse 9. Judah is a lion's whelp. Did you see that? What does he call Judah?
Lion.
Hallelujah.
Hope you're following that. Look at 14. Issachar is a strong 14. Issachar is a strong ass. We are using new modern translation. Is a strong ass, right? Donkey. He's describing Mono, his children. He's using animals to describe them. Get that? Verse 16. Hallelujah. Then shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Then shall be a
serpent.
Doesn't mean that Dan will not be doing like,
you not talk to snakes.
No! Animals were used to describe men.
How many people do
describe people.
Hallelujah! Mm-hmm. When Jesus now said, listen, you shall tread upon snakes and scorpions.
You see, this thing you should be going to go to court and looking for snakes and scorpions to match.
No! He's describing the different kind of men and the works of Satan through men.
So animals are used to describe the different kinds of men. You'll find it there. Hope you're following me. So when he says have dominion over the fish of the sea, is men he was describing there. Hope you understand that for today. Aha. So here, you just say, let's go out. Now the day like here, Papa, let's go and catch that animal. Let's go and catch that donkey. You have to say we shall have dominion over the everything that creepeth upon. What man? You don't know what animal is used for. But you are what man? Continue. Yeah! Hope you are with me. Do you understand what animals are used for now? Used to describe activities of men. Right? Right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Let's get back to our Genesis 1. So when he used the word dominion to have dominion, he's talking about different kind of men, right? Then he used another word. He says, before that, he says, let them multiply. Right? He used another word, he said, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish. Now that word replenish is what you have to refill. To refill. So that shows you, listen, look up here, that we're not talking about a fat. Genesis is not about a fat from nothing, like Adam was the only person in the world. No. It says to refill. You are following me? To refill.
Now, you don't replenish or you don't refill what is empty, right? Right? Do you refill what is empty? When you use the word refill, you don't refill like you want to start something new. You refill something that is there, but it is there and it has another characteristic. So you are bringing in something new on what is existing. Hope you understand me. So it's not like you are... So when you do what you play, it's not saying you should be giving birth to children. Even Adam understood that the replenishing is not to burn as many times on the earth. Our Bible says we should refill the earth. So I want to burn like 70 children. Continue. Even Adam that was given that task only gave birth to Cain and Abel. Abel died. Cain became a vagabond. Adam won. Said, put it on. No more past 3. Amen. Go to God. Said, have only one. Who knows? I thought it's to replenish. You should not be giving birth anywhere at any place. Just here. No.
Hallelujah. They just born like 30 children. How many children do you think have refilled the earth? So he's not talking about birth. Hope you are seeing that. We're talking about something else. It shows you one that the earth is not empty. Hope you're following me. It shows you too that the people who are around they were not in the image of God. So the replenish the earth to mean to now make men to replenish the earth with what? With this kind. Man in the image of God. Do you see that?
Okay, so
maybe.
So to refuse something. So that means people are already there. So you are coming to refuse this guy. Man in the image of God.
Okay, follow me.
Okay, follow me. Okay.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Okay. That is sounding as if. Okay. Take note. God's dreamer, which is Adam.
Because God's dreamer, which is Adam,
is God's son. Right? Right? So he's going to carry out God's task in all of the earth. Right? Which is heaven and earth. God a man. Right? And that has to be carried out by him in the preaching of the message. Do you get it?
Okay, follow me. The preaching of the message.
So, what is Adam's task? God's task, Genesis 1:1. How will he carry it? Preaching of the gospel. Okay, follow me. Amen?
There are some of these things we're going to pick out again, and then I'm going to see, we'll teach you some of these things in understanding the gospel. Understanding what was the gospel preached in Genesis.
Glory to God. What we want to look at in the coming days. Look at Genesis 2. In explaining that, look at what he now did. Genesis 2 verse 5. And every plant of the field, before it was in the earth, remember Genesis 1:1 is God's dream man. Right? God's dream man. I mean God's dream world. Genesis 1:26 is God's dream man. 28 is God's dream man. Right? The man in the image of God will be given a task. Now is that man going to be a male or male and female? Yeah. Is that man, is that Adam, Genesis 1:26, is he going to be a male or male and female? Yeah. Okay. You saw that in verse 7, right? So it's everybody. Okay. So in chapter 2 verse 5, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew, for the Lord had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no man to till the ground. So it gives you, now if you want to till the ground there, it gives you the responsibility of man. There was no man to till the ground. Responsibility of man is to till. Now the word till there has nothing to do with agriculture. The till, meaning man's role is to now become a farmer. Farmer, now carry tiller and be tilling the ground. So it has nothing to do with agri. Tiller on the ground has nothing to do with agri. But you know what? They were agrarians. The people Moses is writing to were agrarians. Right? So just like today, we are in a global war. The world is a global village. Then the world was an agrarian village. So Moses will use words, use concepts that they knew to pass across God's oracle. So when Moses used the word tilling the ground, was something that they know. Hallelujah. Amen. But he wasn't saying that man is going to be a farmer. No. But he said, a man is a farmer. No. Amen. So when he used the word till there, to till the ground, is the word that is used for service. That is the word abad. Abad. Service. The word is for service. And it will be related to Genesis 1:28. Bekorah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, stop. From what you have already done, what is the Bekorah? What is the Bekorah? What is Bekorah?
say it out the function. What is the function? Service. What is the service? Where is the gospel then? Just look at what I have to say. What is the decorah? What is the fact? Genesis 1:1. Genesis 1:28. Amen. That is the decorah. That is the service. That is the function. Okay, follow me. So that you don't lose out on what I'm telling you. Amen. So whenever you hear Bekora, your mind goes back to Genesis 1. Are we following you? Okay. So, the thing here has to do with service. So, Abad is used for service. We're going to deal with Abad shortly. Service. And it will be related to Genesis 1:28. We're going to see that shortly. Amen. Now, it says, till the ground. Now, another word, the ground, Adama. Adama. Now, that word ground too is used for man. Adama. It's used for man. Go to God. So, for you to see that the responsibility is towards man. Do you see that? It's towards who? Man. The service is towards who? Man. God starts in Genesis 1:1 is towards man, the earth. Do you see that? Amen? Adam is also used for the earth. Do Genesis 1:1, the word earth there is the word he rests, but Adam is also used for the earth. Hope you are following me. Amen? 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 I need you to see that now. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, glory, glory.
Did I say something about promised land here last week? Yeah? Was it in this meeting? Yeah? Was it in this meeting? Okay. Maybe when I was studying.
Actually. Yeah? I said it? Okay. Just wanted to be sure I have not let out a cat out of the bag. Okay. Don't bother your head. So, it will be found in the earth, right? Man, that responsibility is towards man. Man, the ground. The ground referring to man. Right? Right? Is it the same to Genesis 1:1? Genesis 2:5 and Genesis 1:1, is it the same?
Yes.
Right? Right? God's responsibility was given to Adam, right? To man. Will it be the same in Genesis 1:3 to till the ground? Yes. Genesis 1:28, yes. It will be God's responsibility that will be carried out by man. Okay. Now that word abad, let's begin to close here. Yes, in my mind. Now that word abad was also used in verse 15. He said, and God took the man and put him in the garden to dress and to keep it. To dress and to keep it. The word dress there is the word abad. And the word keep is the word shamar. So it doesn't mean man is not a gardener.
You use it, think about it. From an Greek man that is planting, man gardening garden. The man is a gardener, to be dressing garden.
So what am I going to do? Amen? No. When the man is not in UK doing two jobs. Nonsense. Amen. Glory to God. I hope you don't take that out of context. So, just take a look at this. So dress up to keep it the word Abad and Shammah. And Abad and Shammah will be pointing you again to the Bekorah. Abad, service. Now that word Abad, let's just deal with Abad. Abad is the word you will find as service. As service. A word for service. You'll find it in Genesis 15 verse 13 into 14 to serve. You'll be found as the tax of the children of Israel and the nation of Egypt. They have to serve. What are you following me? Service.
in a word that you now found used for priesthood in the book of Leviticus, the priest would serve. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Okay, follow the sons.
And Jesus introduced that to in when we read Matthew 20, he said, he that wants to be the greatest, the chief amongst you, let him first be the servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister. Did you see that? Did you see that? Hallelujah. So the primary assignment of the man in Christ is service. Is service. To serve the Lord in the earth. To serve the Lord in the earth. The word Abad again is used in Genesis 3:23 for Adam and Eve.
But we will get into that too much. Adam and Eve again. When they had sinned, the Bible says that God said,
God drove them from the garden to go and till the earth. Genesis 3:23. So God said, therefore the Lord sent them forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground whence he was taken. To till the ground.
So it's also the same instruction of man. It's not going to be a...
Hallelujah. It's the same instruction to till the ground. Hallelujah. Something I'm going to deal with in another forum. In Genesis 4:2, we find Cain and Abel. Genesis 4:2 again, and she again bore his brother Abel. That was for Cain. Okay, Abel's brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Do you see that? Tiller. Was a keeper of sheep. Keeper there is the word Ra. Ra is used for a pastor. Pastor. So when you hear the word pastor, it's from Genesis chapter 4. Was a pastor. Yes? And Cain was a tiller of the ground. Tiller of the ground. So therefore, tiller there is the word Abad. So therefore, in Cain and Abel, what you will find is God's pact for man. Pact for man. Amen. In all the earth. God's pact in all the earth for man will be that man should serve. Hallelujah. Service. But something happened along the way. Remember, Cain was to be a pillar of ground. Hallelujah. Look at something now. In verse 5, quickly, into 9. Unto Cain and his offering, he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Did you see that? Fell. His countenance fell. Look at what God said. And God said, why are thou wroth? And why is thy countenance falling? Verse 7, if thou dost well, thou shalt be accepted. Shall thou not be accepted? And if thou dost not well, see light at the door. And to thee shall his desire and... I mean, to thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. Verse 8. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass. It came to pass means, after a series of events, it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. Hallelujah. Verse 9. And the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Now that word, am I my brother's keeper again, is the word Shama. Am I my brother's keeper? So therefore, look at verses 9. When he says, am I my brother's keeper? That same statement, am I my brother's keeper, is actually an indication for you to know that Cain has rejected the Torah. Amen. Amen. It's an indication for you to know. It was an indication. Moses put it there for you to see that that was the rejection of the Bekorah. Now the word, the rejection of the Bekorah was not at this point, but this actually is a pointer to it. Hallelujah. Okay, follow me. Rejection of that fact. Am I my brother's keeper? He was supposed to be a tear to serve. Hallelujah. Look at what God now said to him in verses 12. He said, when thou tillest the ground, he shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond thou shalt be in the earth. Now when you use the word, when thou tillest the ground, he shall no longer give to you its strength. He wasn't talking about agriculture. Because Cain wanted to become a rich guy. I showed us that, right? During our teaching on giving, was he giving? Right? Right? Was he giving? Hallelujah. He was a rich guy. So, this tilling the ground doesn't have to do with agriculture. It was agriculture. God said, if I no longer till the ground, I'll go and do real estate. Yeah? I'll go and do Santos. Just do something that is not in, let me go and trade for it.
It's not fucking about agriculture.
Hallelujah. But rather, when he said, when thou tillest the ground, it shall no longer henceforth yield unto you her strength, God is saying to Cain that he will no longer be found in my sacred assignment. That is, Cain will no longer be found in God's sacred assignment. When thou tillest the ground, shall no longer yield to thee strength, you will not be found there. Hallelujah. And that is what he calls fugitive and vagabond. Fugitive and vagabond doesn't mean you'll be walking up and down like someone that does not have sense. Because he still built an empire. So that means I have to come back again and look at the world. What is that? Fugitive and vagabond. Noah and Nod. N-U-A-N-O-D. Noah and Nod. Hallelujah. Now the word Noah and the word Nod are what's used for something that has no purpose, unstable and purposeless. So that means away from God's tax is not to have a purpose. Do you see that? Away from God's assignment, away from God's presence is not to have a purpose in the earth. So a man who is not born again doesn't have a purpose. Hallelujah. So one, but a man who is born again, who is in God's sacred place, who has the Holy Ghost, a man who is a son, hallelujah, is a man who has purpose. So when a man is born again, John will say, now are we the sons of God. We have a purpose. The way you are the son of God, you must have that responsibility. Or you must have that sense of responsibility. I have a purpose. Hallelujah. I have a purpose. We're going to deal with that. Amen. Even after we're done, I have to teach you something else. Amen. Glory to God. Related to it. So some of the things I'm going to supposed to say, I'm going to leave for that teaching also. Because it's a compliment to you. Hallelujah. Amen. So I have a purpose. They say I'm a son. They say I'm a son. It's purpose. Not I have a son. Say I am a son. So you will have that sense of a purpose. Have a purpose in you. I'm not purposeless. I'm not confused. I'm not in chaos. Hallelujah! God has a responsibility! I have a responsibility. Idiot. Hallelujah. I'm a son.
Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God.
Because to go ahead, we'll find the same tax in the Patriarchs. Amen. In the Patriarchs, you'll find the same tax given to them. You'll find it in Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. The same thing, the Bekorah. You'll find it in Noah. You'll find it there. Hallelujah. You'll find it in Enoch.
to find it in the Lord Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord is called, he's the firstborn. You know what it means. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And because we are in him, glory to God.
We are sons because we are in him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are sons because we are in him. Glory to God. Say, I have a purpose. I have a purpose. My purpose is God's tax in all the earth. Hallelujah. See, I know there are people who tell you different people have different purpose in the earth. It's not true. As believers, we all have a singular purpose in the earth. Hallelujah. We all have a singular tax in the earth. We might have its expressions in different forms, or not different forms, the same form, so that you don't miss it. But you might have the expressions in different locations, or have the same purpose. We have the same purpose. That's how you see believers. Even in and out, not in the local church. Hallelujah. Once a person is a believer and has a local church, we all have the same purpose. There's once you understand this, there's no reason why a believer should be envious. There's no reason why a believer should be envious of another believer and what they are doing for the Lord. What a church is doing for the Lord, you are envious. No! It's your work. Hallelujah. It's the same work. It's your task. It's the same task. It's your sheep. It's the same work. Hallelujah. It's your work. Hallelujah. Do you have a purpose?
Yes, sir.
Do you have a task?
Let's
be on our feet. Let's thank the Lord. Oh, we have a purpose in the earth. Let's thank the Lord.